Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Mark, how are you?
Good, good.
You know, we have a lot of back pain articles.
Yeah, I don't know if this, that was not intentional, and we'll try to avoid them for the next few weeks. But, you know, when there's good stuff out there, we want to share it with our readers or listeners.
So here is a good article. Approximately a quarter of patients between the ages of 18 and 50 who have acute low back pain received imaging tests. And of those, none of them, the 25%, had no identifiable indication for imaging. If you look at lumbar radiographs in primary care patients with mechanical lower back pain, it's not associated with improved function, severity of pain, or overall health status over the long term. Inappropriate x-rays can lead to irrelevant findings and trigger lots of additional costly studies, unnecessary treatments, and even at the far end of the spectrum, unwanted surgical interventions. It's also important to note that x-rays and CTs and MRIs often find abnormal things in adults who don't have back pain. In fact, one study, nearly a quarter of asymptomatic adults had degenerative changes on their x-rays, yet none of them had any symptoms of back pain. So the question is what role does imaging play? You found an article from JAMA published in 2015, volume 313. It starts on page 1143. It asks the question, does early imaging of older adults with back pain, does it really improve outcomes? What did they do, Mark?
Yeah, a lot of the studies of early imaging were in younger adults and or had a large proportion of younger adults. And the authors were concerned that, well, maybe, you know, younger adults have less of the things you might find with early imaging, like a cancer or a vertebral fracture or infection or something like that. So they said, well, you know, let's look at older adults. They prospectively enrolled over 5,000 adults 65 and older who came to a primary care doctor for a new episode of back pain. Of those, 26% got early imaging, which meant within 6 weeks of the initial visit. Most were plain film radiographs, but 349 of the 1,264, so about a quarter, underwent either CT or MRI. And what they tried to do was compare that group of early imaging using propensity matching with the people who didn't. So they tried to match, identify similar patients who otherwise looked the same but didn't get imaging.
But and then did they have back pain?
Yeah, they all had back pain.
Okay, so the whole group of patients had back pain,
yep.
And one of them were the imaging group, and they got the imaging, and then the other group didn't get any imaging.
Right, but it was up to the doctor whether they got imaging.
Mm.
So in order to compare the two groups, this was not a randomized trial, it was an observational study. So they did what's called propensity matching, where they can, it's a way to post hoc try to compare, you know, you have these case patients who got the imaging, and they try to identify controls who didn't get imaging but looked otherwise, they had similar amount of back pain, similar in terms of whether there was leg pain, quality of life, age, smoking, sex, you know, all that other stuff. And so they looked at outcomes 3, 6, and 12 months later, and they had really good follow-up, about 90% at 12 months. And what they found was they did see more fractures. There were more fractures detected in the early imaging group. But when you looked at the more broad health outcomes in terms of disability or quality of life, there was no statistically significant difference between the early imaging and the control non-imaging patients. There were also no differences in the proportion of patients who were diagnosed with cancer. Costs were higher with the early imaging group. So in adults 65 and older who come in with a new episode of back pain, early imaging doesn't really improve any long-term outcomes, doesn't improve quality of life or disability. It did increase costs, and the only benefit was they were more likely to identify vertebral fractures, but you know, those vertebral fractures. It's not clear that that really changed treatment. And actually, we all know that quite often there can be vertebral fractures seen on imaging that are not actually symptomatic, though, you know, studies of patients, hospitalized patients, and studies in osteoporosis drugs have shown that when you do imaging regularly on people, you will find vertebral compression fractures that they never knew about. So, you know, I take that with a grain of salt. Yeah, finding more fractures sounds good, but it isn't necessarily. I think it's important to remind folks that there are some, you know, really important reasons to do imaging early. Any signs of cauda equina syndrome, progressive or severe neurologic deficits, obviously fever, previous diagnosis of cancer, we've covered that previously in a poem, mm-hmm. is a major risk factor. So anybody with an active or previous diagnosis of cancer probably should be getting earlier imaging.
Right, so those are what we traditionally call red flag symptoms. And they're, as you say, they're due to a specific, potentially serious condition, and you're suggesting that we might want to be more cautious with those symptoms. The question is, of the patients who were assigned by the doctor to have imaging, did they look at how many of them had those, you know, what we're calling red flag symptoms?
They definitely a number of those patients did, but they also tried to match them on some of those symptoms. And I believe, and I'd have to go back and look at the original study, but I think they were also excluding patients with red flags from this study. So anybody that had some real obvious red flags, fever, you know, history of cancer, weight loss, anything like that, cauda equina, severe deficit, they weren't in the study at all. They were just bumped out.
Great. Interesting. It is sort of confirms lots of what we've been thinking about, again, that we overuse these tests and that, you know, depending on the outcome that you are looking for, that meaningful outcomes aren't really affected by early radiologic testing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think use your, you know, clinical judgment. I mean, certainly if somebody comes in with a history that, you know, of a fall or something where it, you know, sounds like, gosh, I'm concerned about a fracture, by all means, image them. But don't just do it without thinking. Have a good reason for doing it, that's all. And, you know, make sure you can justify to yourself that, you know, I think there's a good reason for getting imaging in this patient because of X, Y, or Z. I think the other thing to recall is, you know, this whole 6-week thing really that, okay, 6 weeks, that's when you image, that's when you send them to neurosurgery if they're not getting better. That was kind of pulled out of thin air, that 6-week number. And at least as far as I know, I've never heard a good explanation. And there have actually been studies showing that if you take folks who are still symptomatic, but they don't have any progressive neurologic deficit, they're otherwise doing okay, they just have a lot of pain, a lot of times if you wait, they will get better. A significant percentage, if you waited 12 weeks instead of 6, their pain went away. And they didn't require surgery. So it's not as if 6 is a magic number. I think we want to wait at least 6 weeks, you know, if there's no red flag. And I think if, you know, at that point, you know, go ahead and image if you want to, but that doesn't necessarily mean they need surgery immediately either.
Mark, thanks so much. A very interesting poem. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.